Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Oh, yes, it is. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests like Ron Darling in this hour on the Goodyear Hotline. Almost wall-to-wall basketball today on what has become an insane day. The breaking news just continues to come. We have another one. Woj tweeting just moments ago, after one season, Stan Van Gundy is out as the coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. So add that to the list of huge stories that are breaking as we speak this morning, right before we came on here, in case you're just joining us and hadn't heard. And Christine just ran through it all, of course, in the Sports Center. Kawhi will not play tonight. Clippers, Jazz, it's a knee. He banged it with Joe Ingles the other night in Game 4. I don't think he comes back in this series. They have not said that yet for certain. One way or another, he doesn't play tonight. I give them almost no chance of winning. What'd you tell me? It's a seven-point game now?
Seven-point game. Utah, a seven-point favorite.
The line moved from 2 points to 7 points?
Yes, as soon as the Kawhi news broke, 2-7.
And then the other news is Chris Paul in the COVID protocol, and we have no idea beyond that what it means, which is to say, will he miss any games? Will he miss all the games? We don't know anything. We don't know if he's been vaccinated or not. It isn't our right to ask, but to the point that Zach Lowe brought up earlier, we'll know based upon what happens, because his absence will be a lot shorter if he has been vaccinated. One way or another, we got all those things on the table. If you missed anything on the show today, by the way, it's a great reminder. There's always two ways to catch up with us. We've got the podcast. They take both hours of the show, posted daily as a podcast, available anywhere you get your podcast, called Hashtag Greeny. We also stream every single day on ESPN Plus. It's live, so you can watch with us, and you can watch the rest of the day anytime you want. You can catch up on all the good stuff that we do here. So it's been fascinating. So all of that and more are in the hopper. But I think we have to ask what really is the biggest question of the day.
You ask these questions.
Greeny's question of the day.
Is Kevin Durant the best basketball player in the world? Is this the first time since LeBron James became LeBron James that this felt like it was a legitimate question? Forget about those finals MVPs. That was nonsense. This whole idea that, well, he beat LeBron in the finals back-to-back years in Golden State, and he'd put up these numbers and those numbers was the MVP, that was ridiculous. If you had flipped the two of them, if LeBron had been on the Warriors and Kevin Durant had been on the Cavaliers, someone else would have been in the finals. No one takes those teams to the finals except for LeBron James. So LeBron James was the best player in the world then. He was better than KD, and he was better than anybody. And he's been the best player in the world for a really long time. LeBron James has been the best basketball player in the world. You know, that is sort of like the pound-for-pound champ. You know, that's a belt that you sort of hold for a period of time. Not too many people in history have had it longer than he had it. LeBron James probably became the best player in the NBA somewhere in the neighborhood of 2010. I'm just making up a time. So that's at least a decade that he was that. Not too many people have been that. Michael Jordan was that. Now, he was absent for two of those years. He didn't play in the NBA for two of those years, but he was still the best basketball player in the world. The 2 years that he was playing baseball, he was still the best basketball player in the world. Everybody knew it. So Michael is on that list. Others have been on that list over periods of time. Like Kobe was probably the one from whom LeBron inherited this, but and there have been others. But is it over now? Is it time to say Kevin Durant is the best player in the world? Jokic is the MVP. Steph had an unbelievable season. Luka, Giannis in the regular season. Harden when healthy. Kawhi when interested. Those would be the other contenders. But I think we're talking about LeBron and KD. They're sort of like the Brady and Manning of their era. LeBron's era goes back farther, obviously, and he was the better one for the longer period of time. But I think it is possible that he has been supplanted. You made an interesting point to me this morning, Hembo, as we were in the office getting ready. You know, the Suns team that just dispatched LeBron's Lakers, pretty comparable to this Milwaukee team. LeBron, when he lost AD, had no answers. KD was out there. He's lost his guys. He gave you the ultimate answer. 49 points on 23 shots last night. So I think it's an interesting question. and I will ask it to the members of the hashtag crew. Nuno, beginning with you, you're my VP of basketball passion and insight. Is Kevin Durant the best basketball player in the world?
Yes, and I think he was already on or close to LeBron's level before the Achilles, and I think at this point he is that guy.
See, this is why this is so important, because he may or may not have been on LeBron's level, but you couldn't have confirmed it. You could have believed it, but you couldn't confirm it. And that's why his decision to go team up with those guys in Golden State, his decision not to beat him but to join him, had an enormous and profound impact on his legacy. Because you're right, Kevin Durant might actually have been the best basketball player in the world in 2017, 2018, 2019, until he tore the Achilles. But how would you know? Because he didn't have to be. He didn't have to be the best basketball player in the world for that team to win championships. And they did. They cruised easily, as everyone knew they would. And the impact, I think, has been profound on Durant's psyche. Because there's a part of Durant, and look, you see it. He is acutely aware of what everyone is saying about him. I mean, the history on social media is well documented. Just go to his Twitter account. He's on there constantly. He spends more time on social media than my kids do. So the point is, he's very aware of that. And so that's why I think this game last night, for those who don't think he needed that last night, I say you're dead wrong. I think he did. Not because Nuno was wrong, because Nuno's giving you an opinion. He thought Durant was the best player already, and that may very well have been true, but you couldn't prove it because he didn't need to be. LeBron was the best player in the world because there were so many times when he needed to be. Yes, he had Kyrie Irving on those teams that won the champion, that team that won the championship, and Kevin Love. But LeBron James had to be every bit the best player in the world for that team to have any chance to beat the 73-win Warriors, which they did. LeBron James was by far the best player on the floor in the finals the year before that, when I would absolutely argue and will continue to that he should have been the MVP of the finals, even though they lost the year they gave it to Andre Iguodala. LeBron James winning two games in that series without Kyrie or Kevin Love was an enormous accomplishment. He led both teams in points, rebounds, assists, everything. He was by leaps and bounds the best player on the floor. Should absolutely have been the MVP of that series, but whatever. LeBron James was the best player in the world, and I believe still deserved to hold that title entering this season, because I don't think you could prove it with Kevin Durant. And I just went through some of the other names. Jokic is the MVP, but we're not going to say he's the best player in the world. Steph Curry took a big step this year. I don't think I'd say he's the best player in the world, but he's not as far away from it as you might think. Luka may be on the come. Giannis is too flawed. Harden is too flawed. Kawhi is too hurt. I think it's LeBron and KD. And I think KD has surpassed him. Now, many may not know this, but our board operator, Bubba, before his now somewhat storied career in radio production, was actually a basketball historian. And is, as I believe, do you have a plaque or whatever it is you have in the Springfield Basketball Hall of Fame commemorating all of your accomplishments in that regard?
Oh, so there's more than one plaque.
It's multiple plaques. That's correct. I didn't mean to sell you short on plaques.
A plaque.
My apologies. That's correct. A plaque. Is Kevin Durant now the best player in the world?
Yep.
Was he already?
Yep.
I don't know why I find that funny, but I do. Devin, I'll have you chime in on this. Devin, is Kevin Durant the best basketball player in the world?
I don't think anyone else in the NBA is doing what KD did last night as efficiently as he did it.
That's fair. He's the best scorer, for sure. He's the best scorer I've ever seen. So Hembo and I were having a talk. Let me take you inside the curtain. Hembo and I are in the office this morning, so we do our meeting at 6 in the morning. We do our get-up meeting, and that usually lasts till somewhere between 6:30 and 6:45. And then Hembo and I will go in my office, and we plan out whatever, you know, needs to be planned out for here today. And I'm texting back and forth with Nuno and whatever else. But Hembo is my vice president of ideas. He's just feeding me ideas. And so, Hembo, you said to me this morning, what was the thing that you said that sparked this entire... Oh, you said to me this morning, we should do a green list on one of two things: the greatest individual game performances you've ever seen and the greatest scorers you've ever seen. And I thought the greatest individual performances would require too much research. Like, we're not ready to do that. Like, we'd be leaving things out. Mm-hmm. That's something that requires a lot of research.
Right.
And the top scorers, I think, is too obvious. I just think it's too obvious. Michael Jordan was as great a scorer of the basketball as you could ever imagine. Wilt Chamberlain was as great a scorer of the basketball as you could ever imagine. There have been others, but there has never been one better than this. No one has ever put the basketball into the hoop better than Kevin Durant. No one ever had more ways to do it. No one was ever more unstoppable trying to do it. Kevin Durant is the best scorer that I've ever seen and that anyone has ever seen and then was ever born. I don't even think that's debatable. So I didn't think that that green list was interesting enough. But I do think it's debatable whether or not he's the best player in the world. It's an interesting question. I'm Greeny. I'm presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier with more than 30 coverage options available. Progressive has you covered. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. All right, I got two options here. Do I want to get to the football or do we want to take calls on that? I think we should take calls on that. Let's do it. I'm going to throw open the phones. I'm calling an audible. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Your chance to chime in with the answer to that question. What did last night mean? What did you see from Kevin Durant as a fan last night? Is he now the best basketball player in the world? Your call's next on ESPN Radio.
TJ and Z and the NBA playoffs.
If Kevin Durant wins another world championship and wins another finals MVP, he will be inching towards GOAT conversation. He will be in that conversation. You will have to start talking about it.
Breaking it down until a champion is crowned. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Greeny, the podcast.
Come on, baby, dance with us here on ESPN Radio. Greeny with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. Ron Darling on the Goodyear Hotline in 10 minutes. We'll get off basketball for just a few minutes because baseball has this sticky situation, and we wanted to talk to someone who knows the pitching as well as absolutely anyone. But for the most part, we're here talking about this epic performance last night by Kevin Durant on a day where there's all this other news. Chris Paul, we'll wait and see when he's able to come out of the COVID protocol. Kawhi, the Clippers have confirmed he's not playing tonight. His return is indefinite, meaning the injury, it's a knee. We don't know. Stan Van Gundy is out as coach of the Pelicans. So it's a crazy day. But I want to focus on the beauty. I want to focus on the wonder. Like, we all get into this because of the joy that it brings us. Kevin Durant gave us a performance for the ages last night. So the question of the day.
You ask these questions.
Greeny's question of the day.
Is Kevin Durant now the best player in the world? That is a belt, a title I would have had given to LeBron James for at least the last 10 years. Maybe last night is the first time I will waver. Let's go to the phones and see what we think. Bubba, who's first?
First up is Courtney.
Courtney, you're on ESPN Radio. Courtney, is KD the best player in the world?
Hi, Greeny. I'm a big fan, so I just wanted to say thank you. You won me some money yesterday. I placed two bets. I placed a bet on the spread that the Nets were when they were 2.5. And then I also placed a parlay where it was KD plus 35 and Brooklyn to win. So I four times my money, and I just wanted to say thanks.
Well, you are very much welcome. That is what we are here to do. My KOD has been replaced by Hembo. Basically, we do the analytics. I mean, the analytics, listen, if you're making bets on things, then you're either doing it for fun or because you want to win. If you're doing it for fun, great. Because if it's money you can afford to lose easily, then it's fun. But if you're doing it because you really want to win and you're not paying attention to the data, then I don't know what to say to you. So when 92% of the money goes in one direction, always go the other way. Always go the other way. And KD over, what was it, 45 last night she said she took? The number was 35.
35, yeah. Was the number.
He scored 49. That was easy to see coming. Courtney, I'm glad we were able to help you out there. Bubba, who's next?
Let's go to Ryan.
All right, Ryan, is KD the best player in the world?
I think he is. I think he's the best player in the world, and I think no matter who he beats, if they were to win the championship, no matter who comes out of the West, he can leapfrog LeBron James as being the second best player to ever play because of how he's done it. And he also reminds me of Brooks Koepka, U.S. Open week, of just playing no emotion, just going out there and scoring 50.
I like that. I like that comparison. I liked everything you said but one. I thoroughly disagree that he could leap past LeBron historically. He can leap past LeBron as the best player right now. He, in my view, I guess I can't tell you you're wrong, but I would strongly disagree that he replaces LeBron as the second greatest player behind Michael of all time. But I do believe he becomes the best player in the world right now. I think if they just get out of this series without those guys, I think I'll go there. I think I'll say right now he's the best player.
I think he's going to have to win it all for most people to get there.
Fair enough. Let's see what anyone else they have. Let's get back to the phones here. Who's next, Bubba?
Next up is Dez.
Dez, is KD the best player in the world?
Absolutely, Greeny, man. Absolutely. KD is the best player in the world right now. Listen, Giannis is a two-time MVP. He had 34 points and 12 rebounds last night. He had a good game. But KD showed that there's levels to this, and he's on a different level. He's the best player in the world, man. 49 points, Greeny, on 23 shots in 48 minutes. Come on, man. Come on! I called the show this morning and I said the same thing, man. You like that? You like that? KD's the best player, man. Best player in the world, Greeny.
That's an outstanding call. I could have listened to that forever. I loved it. And I like everything you said. There's levels to this. That's the best way to put it. Giannis, what we are seeing is the level he has not reached. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. He is a freakishly gifted player with a great demeanor and approach. I love him. But I am less convinced than ever that he can be the best player on a championship team. And Durant can, because there's levels to this. And Durant showed you the next level last night that Giannis doesn't have. And it is not because he doesn't have the heart, he doesn't have the desire, he doesn't have the talent. He doesn't have the skill. What he doesn't have is the skill. In this day and age of basketball in particular, if you cannot shoot, you cannot be the best player in the world. And he can't shoot. It's just that simple. Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. Bubba, who's next?
Let's go to John.
John, is KD the best player in the world?
I do believe so. I think his next step is if in the next game, Giannis does guard him the whole entire game instead of just a little bit in the second half. I think that'll solidify it a little bit more. And then also to your point yesterday, how you were saying sports movies that make you cry.
Yeah.
Hardball with Keanu Reeves when G-Baby gets shot in the crossfire.
I don't think I know that movie. Do you know that movie? Hembo is frantically Googling it.
I've not seen this movie.
Thank you for the call. I do like the basketball take. That's not a movie I know.
Michael B. Jordan, Keanu Reeves. I've not seen this movie.
It sounds, Michael is young, so it's got to be a pretty recent.
2001.
Really? How old is Michael B. Jordan?
Michael B. Jordan?
Is Michael B. Jordan, which side of 40 is he on?
He's 34.
Okay, so he was a kid.
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan was in that movie when he was 15 or something. Okay.
News
I didn't
me.
Know. All right, it's not a movie I know. Let's take one more. Bubba, who's got it?
Let's go to Barry.
All right, Barry, is KD the best player in the world?
I don't know if I can say he's the best player, but I disagree with your notion that he's the greatest scorer of all time.
Who's better?
Al Bundy. He scored 4 touchdowns in the high school football championship.
I couldn't hear him. What did he say? I can't hear it. Who did he say, Bubba?
He said Al Bundy from Married with Children, who famously scored 4 touchdowns in a high school game.
I do like that call. I mean, I like... If you're gonna prank me, I enjoy that it's a reference I like. I wish I could have heard him. But Al Bundy, of course, who was played by Ed O'Neill, who I like very much because he was Jay Pritchett on Modern Family. So that call obviously just took us a little bit away from where we wanted to be. But in the annals of being pranked, do you know my legendary Howard Stern prank call?
I don't think so.
This is before Mike and Mike. I was working at CLTV. Well, I can't tell it to you because I can't say what he said on the air. Let me put it this way. I once got pranked way, 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 way worse than that. All right. Much more to do as we continue here in a moment. We will have Ron Darling on baseball's sticky situation as we roll on after this word from Straight Talk. Time for some Straight Talk Wireless. For some Straight Talk, you know, saving money feels good, right? But cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth, good. With Straight Talk, you get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract, all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. ESPN Radio. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Greeny, the podcast.
I'm Greeny, and we're coming to you live, as always, from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. What an extraordinary day. To sort of recap all the basketball news we've had, on top of Kevin Durant with a legendary performance last night, we have Chris Paul in COVID protocol. We don't know how much time he'll miss. We have Kawhi Leonard out for at least tonight's Game 5. We have Stan Van Gundy out as the coach of the New Orleans Pelicans, and now we have Scott Brooks out as coach of the Washington Wizards. That came across from Woj literally during this commercial break. So we are doing our best to keep up with all of that, and we've been on the basketball pretty much all day long, but I wanted to make sure that we had time for this because baseball is in a sticky situation, and there is no one I wanted to talk about that more than Ron Darling. And Ron and the rest of the crew tonight will have Mets Cubs with Jacob deGrom on the mound. Pregame starting 6:30 Eastern tonight on SNY. It's a pleasure to have Ron Darling back with us on ESPN Radio. Good morning, Ron Darling.
Hi, Greeny. It's great to talk to you again.
It's a pleasure. And I want to really focus mostly on this business with the sticky stuff, because you would understand that better than most. But I just mentioned DeGrom pitching tonight. I would love to get a moment from you here for the national audience. Like, how would you, through the eyes of someone who has seen so much and has done it at such a high level, how would you describe what you are seeing from Jacob DeGrom right now?
You know, I feel like it's hubris to even call his games. That's where he's taken this level. It feels a lot like Tiger Woods when he was at his best, where you're having a hard time describing what he's doing. I've seen Nolan Ryan at his best, Steve Carlton, Dwight Gooden, of course. I was on the bench watching for his first 2 years. It was as good as it gets. But this guy's ability to prevent runs is beyond anything I've ever seen before. His athleticism, his insides, to go along with his physical gifts are just, it's a pleasure, Greeny, to call the games every fifth day.
As one who's around him, I mean, the rest of us are not, and like, what can you tell us about the demeanor? Like, how is he handling this? Right now, he's the best pitcher that ever lived. He just is. I mean, the numbers back it up, the eye test backs it up, everything. So at least for this little moment in time, he is better than anyone has ever been in any moment in time. How is he handling that? What's he like to be around for his teammates and then a day by day? How does he take in all of this?
You know, the world we live in now is a different way of spending time with athletes. But I will say, that watching him over his entirety of his career, he's able to blend this beautiful, still a kid out there playing first base, taking ground balls at short, shagging in the outfield, with a mental toughness and acuity that is remarkable. So I still think he's still a big kid. He's still playing a sport, and he does something that's remarkable for pitchers today. When he takes the mound each and every fifth day, he's the best athlete on the field. You can't say that about too many people in the history of the game.
That's true. Yeah, again, he's driven in more runs than he's allowed. Mets Cubs tonight on SNY. The great Ron Darling is with us here on ESPN Radio. Okay, obviously the big story in the sport right now is Major League Baseball's decision not only to ban the use of any sticky or foreign substances on the fingers of pitchers, but to enact that rule immediately, which is to say that we have players now who have to change what they're doing right in the middle of their season. And Tyler Glass now, the Rays ace, everyone by now has probably seen it. He hurt his elbow, and he believes that part of the reason is because he had to stop using these substances 2 weeks ago or whatever it was, and it changed his grip on the ball, all the rest of it. So, Ron, let's start with this. You're a pitcher. Can you explain for people who don't really fully understand it, exactly what this does, why it's so important?
Well, first, you know, there's been an evolution here. In my time of pitching 30 years ago, every umpire rubbed up the balls individually. They were very dark. They were very tacky. Also, the ball that was put in play stayed in play. So you would have remnants of the dirt on a ground ball. If it hit the wall and came back, maybe some paint that had come off the fence. So the ball that you used remained tacky and easy to grip because it was never taken out of play. For your viewers, think about that old worn ball that you used to play on the hard cement with sometimes and what it would look like. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't quite like that, but you know how tacky it would get and roughed up it would get. Well, the game has changed now where every ball is taken out of play. Anything that hits the dirt, anything hit on the ground, any wild pitch, all of those pitches, balls are taken out of play. So a pitcher over a course of an inning might get 10 to 15 new pellets, new baseballs, and each one to them, and the pitchers I've talked to, get a ball that don't always seem the same, seem very slippery. And it's a ball that they feel as though, the way it's designed, they need some tacky substance to be able to hold on to the baseball. The problem, Greeny, is that the sunscreen and the rosin combination to get a grip now has morphed into some pitchers, getting a competitive edge, and that's where baseball's at.
Correct. And that was the SpiderTac product is one of the ways we've done that. Hembo brought in some of that yesterday, and we did a little demonstration here of that. And so some people took it too far, and as a consequence, they universally enacted this rule and will start enforcing it practically immediately. How concerned are you? Tyler Glasnow believes he got hurt as a result of it. How would you describe your level of concern that we will see more of that now that this change is coming in this quickly?
Well, first, regarding Tyler Glasnow, he's about as an upstanding, intelligent person to ever be around. So when he says something, I really listen. Second, though, he's also at a real delicate time, right? He's hurt his arm. He might not pitch again till 2023. And I'm sure it's a real sticking and sore point at this point in time. But what I will say is that this was the mistake, I believe, in my opinion, of I understand trying to even the playing field, giving the hitters a better chance, and to try to get that competitive edge, that spice, that sticky stuff that they're using to get an advantage. The problem, I think, and where they made a mistake is, you know, the hitters have a pine tar rag they use in the on-deck circle. I think they should have, for now, by enacting this right away, have some kind of rag behind the mound, universal with a sunscreen rosin mix that the pitchers are used to and have been using for years and years. Behind the mound, you can change it every inning if you wanted to make sure that no one's fooling around with it, and have that for them at least through this competitive season, and then take a look at it in the off season. I think that's the compromise that should have been reached, and they didn't do it.
And you know, there are people in the office who would be making these decisions who'd be aware of that, right? I mean, there are advisors to the commissioner who would be, who would have seen this problem coming, I guess is what I'm saying. So, what do we say about that? Why didn't they do it? Or I know you don't know why they didn't do it, but I'm asking the question, why didn't they do it? And could they still do it? Could they change their minds and do something like that now that they see the problem that it has created?
Well, why didn't they do that? Certainly the commissioner's office has people that used to play and understand all of these things. But I think why did they do it is that they wanted to give the umpires, who are now going to be in charge of enforcing this, a chance at looking at a pitcher. And if he has any kind of foreign substance on his body, hat, uniform, belt, that he'll be suspended. You know, that was the issue. And I think that's why they made that decision. I think it's the wrong decision, personally, because I think we don't give our umpires enough credit. I think they can tell the difference between a rag behind the mound that the pitchers go to for a grip and a spider tack or something very, very sticky that's usually a different color and something easier to recognize. I think that's where we should have gone. But I understand why they did it. It's because they wanted to give the umpires kind of a fighting chance in this, that when they started to level these suspensions, that it would be any kind of substance that could be the fine or suspension could be levied.
Greeny and Ron Darling with us here on ESPN Radio. Yeah, Theo Epstein obviously is driving, I think, a lot of this. And he was a general manager last year. He's well aware of all of this stuff. Do you expect it to have an enormous impact on the sport? We've already seen, what did Jeff Passan tell us yesterday? 11 points overall, the batting averages. We're already up 11 points over the last 2 weeks. Do you expect the sport to look vastly different a month from now than it has throughout the season?
I think that if they enacted a rag or something behind the mound, no, I don't think we'd see too much difference. We'd see a little bit of difference. I think the offense was going to pick up a tick anyways over the course of the summer. But if nothing is used and the pitchers are, in fact, going cold turkey, as Tyler Glasnow said, for the rest of the season, yes, I think there'll be a collateral damage to the pitchers, not only from grip-wise, but also from psyche, confidence, not having a pitch that they've used for the last couple of seasons. And the pitchers that have gotten that competitive edge the most will suffer the most.
Now, because baseball players, more than any other athletes, all athletes are superstitious and all athletes are habit-driven. They have habits that they stick to very closely. But in my experience covering it, Ron, and you, of course, would know far better than I, no one more so than baseball players, right? Your routine is everything.
Well, the routine is everything, Greeny, because it's the one sport that's played every day. You know, that's the difference between baseball and other sports, is that you fall into that routine because it helps you over the course of 6 months play 162 games.
This is just excellent. Ron, darling, I can't tell you how much I always enjoy these conversations. I'm a big fan. Thank you for this, and we'll be watching tonight the DeGrom game and everything else. We'll talk again soon. Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Mike. Like your show.
All right, that's Ron Darling with me here on ESPN Radio. Whether you need to hire a civil engineer in New York or a mascot in Missouri, ZipRecruiter's technology finds people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. And now you can try it for free only at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. Let me turn to Hembo. I think that was well worth coming off the basketball to get a little bit of insight from someone like him. He's so good. I'm old enough to remember him as a terrific pitcher on those Mets teams in the 80s. And he's a very good announcer. You see him nationally now, and of course, we see him in New York every single day. So, Hembo, I'm just looking at you from that conversation. What did you take out of it?
I respect Ron's opinion immensely. And the point about umpire enforcement's a good one, because on the fly during a game, expecting umpires to be able to identify the exact sticky substance that a player is using is going to be next to impossible. Those guys are going to be too good at hiding it. The reason I can't really sympathize much with Tyler Glasnow, who just blew out his elbow, is because these guys aren't using grip agents. They're using performance enhancers, right? That's how I view this. And so, yeah, sure, some pitchers now are going to feel like they have less control. Maybe they have to grip their pitches differently. They might have less command. But ultimately, they ruined it for themselves. They just did. I have a very difficult time criticizing Major League Baseball effectively for just choosing to enforce their own rules midseason, I know. But I think this is a much better solution than just allowing the season to progress as it was already.
Let me ask you a question. Are you differentiating, when you say these are performance enhancers, are you differentiating, as he just did, between the spider tack and the rosin and sunscreen?
Yes. I view spider tack is, we'll use the analogy.
We all agree. That's a steroid.
That's HGH. Rosin and sunscreen is a multivitamin, right? But right now, Major League Baseball, during the season, can't go to the depths that they could in the offseason to try and negotiate that. And I've obviously heard lots of players talk about how much they hate that. They have to negotiate a freaking CBA in the winter. So I understand why Major League Baseball is doing this now, especially considering how suppressed the offense is around the game.
I see both sides a little. Generally speaking, I support Major League Baseball making the decision to attack the problem. But I do think, because Passan said it and Ron Darling just said it, that there could have been a way to do this where it wasn't quite this jarring, which is to say, if there's some substance that everyone can agree is okay, and I don't know what it is. I mean, I'd have never used rosin and sunscreen together. Nothing like that would ever have occurred to me before. But whatever it is you're doing, if there's some substance that basically everyone is good with, that we could have kind of left that in there so that people didn't go cold turkey this way, because I do get it. I do get the pitcher's side of it. Yes, a few bad apples, or maybe a lot of bad apples, kind of spoiled this bunch. But I kind of get both sides.
Do you think that the fact that reporters haven't been in the clubhouses this year or last had anything to do with this getting out of hand? I was thinking about, like, in 98, right, when it was Andrew Steen Dione, I think, that was found in Mark McGuire's locker. That was a reporter that
wasn't
just happened
found,
to see
it. It was just seen.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's just spider tack sitting in lockers, you know, this year and last, and maybe reporters would have gotten to the bottom of it beforehand, and maybe that's part of the reason why we're in this sticky situation.
I wonder if they would have even been hiding it, is the question.
Sure.
Like, would the pitchers have been going to lengths to hide that they were doing it? Because from what I can tell, everyone knew what was happening and no one was going to do it. Not only, like, if you listen back to, Garrett Cole, what he said, what he was basically saying is, look, there are traditions that have been passed down from pitchers before me to the next guy that I never really thought about. He's basically telling you, he said it inartfully because he can't say it artfully.
Right.
But what he's basically telling you is, I was just told when I got here, you can do this.
Right.
Don't worry about it. And so, yeah, I do it, and I really didn't think it was a big deal. Doesn't make it right, but I get it.
But it's very clear to make the distinction. Spider tack is a performance enhancer.
Right.
Rosin and, you know, sunscreen, that is just a grip agent. I do understand the player's point of view, though. Like, all of a sudden, I can't do any of this midseason. But at the bottom, the rules were already in place. They're not creating rules. They're just enforcing
Understood.
Rules.
Let me ask you this. A pitcher who was using spider tack, is he hiding that from his own teammates?
No.
That's what I mean. So if everyone knows it's happening, then it really wasn't a problem. The only analogy I can possibly think of is when I came to ESPN, they were legendary on-air people here. I mean, people that I had watched and I had admired and that I was overwhelmed by. Chris Berman, but I'm not going to even start naming them all because I'm going to leave people out, but Stewart and Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann and Robin and Linda and all these people who were, I mean, in my view, icons when I got here. And if when I got here, you know, they had sort of told me, look, this is just the way we do things here. Don't worry about it. Management may say not to do X. I don't even know what an equivalent of using spider tack would be. But, yeah, they tell you you have to follow these rules, but nobody does. Don't worry about it. I wouldn't have thought to myself, well, gee, that seems suspicious. that doesn't seem right. I would have thought, okay, that's the way we do things here, and I'll just do them that way.
Well, I'll use this example. What if in 2005, midseason, Bud Selig just decides at the All-Star break, we're going to start testing for steroids right now, right? Would you have had a problem with that? This is similar. This is very similar because there's a performance-enhancing aspect of it that is creating an imbalance within the game.
But yeah, no, I agree with you, but we're having two different discussions because, as you just said, one of the substances they use is not steroids. It's a vitamin. So getting the spider tack out of it immediately, I'm totally with you. If you're using that, then I have no sympathy for you. But if you're using a mixture, again, of rosin and sunscreen or whatever it is to get a little better feel, and everyone is doing that, then that to me is different. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
They're two different things. So anyway, that was a worthwhile departure from what was otherwise a day spent talking about all of this breaking basketball news and waxing rhapsodic about a performance for the ages from Kevin Durant last night. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. This was fun. This was a really, when I thought about coming back, this was the kind of day I envisioned. This was fun. See you tomorrow. Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can check out Greeny live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Also, don't miss Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 Eastern on ESPN. This is Greeny, the podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.